called to be a blessing. If you have your Bibles this morning, go ahead and open up to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'll give you a hint. It's right after 1 Corinthians. Right before Galatians. I am excited. I have been just blessed. I hope it's been a blessing to you as well throughout and as we've been going through this series, looking at hope rising. I'm so glad that we have a God who in the midst of turbulence, in the midst of chaos, in the midst of struggle and trial, there's a God who instills hope and who is hope. Amen? That His very nature and His very essence is hope for us. That there is no hopelessness in Him, and we're excited for what He's been doing. I know He's been doing things in me, and I pray that He's been changing and transforming us all. You might think, well, Pastor, I haven't got nothing to change. You may need to hear this the most this morning. We believe in being a people that are just honest. Like this morning for me, a sweater was a bad choice. I forgot how much I kind of move around, and you know, it just would have been nice. Just, you know, I looking at Caleb, and I think, man, it's good to see you. But yeah, a t-shirt would have been the right move this morning. Underneath here, I am a mess right now. I mean, it is just, if you want a hug, you might get baptized in the midst of the hug. It is just crazy. It would have been a good idea to go with a t-shirt. But we just believe in being honest, that we are not here to impress, we're here to transform. We're not here to impress people around us with how nice our cars may look, because everybody knows when you open a door to a car, it's different, isn't it? Oh, just us with kids. You know what I'm talking about, right? Look at the outside. The outside's good. Don't look at the in. My wife, even, I had borrowed her car after she had cleaned it, you know, and she went through it, like, vacuumed it out and everything, and then I took a trip with the kids. Well, I just assume she knows, right? Like, it's going to happen, right? And she's like, oh, you're gonna clean this car. And it's like, well, I didn't do it. Oh, just me? Just me, I guess. But we just believe in being honest. Man, we could do a lot. We could try to pretend that we're a lot, and all we're doing is just living really a lie. I believe that there's power in truth. Okay, a couple of us. All right. That there's power in truth. That, you know, honestly, the Bible talks about, you know, bearing our struggles with one another and having people who will strengthen us. Right? We're not talking about and sharing our troubles in order for people to look down upon us, but sharing our troubles in order for people to support and surround us. I need you, and I pray that at some level and some place you need us. And whether you're visiting here this morning or whether you've been here for quite some time, we're so glad that you're here. And we just believe that God's not created us to just come and consume, but come and contribute to the body of Christ. That we as believers make up His body. Not we as pastors or evangelists or missionaries, but we as believers make up the body of Christ. And His body will operate the best as we all operate in Him. And that's what I want to challenge us to and believe and hope that it's been an encouraging yet challenging series to know that life is just real and it comes at you. And sometimes you feel like it's pressing in on you on every side. But the good news of God is that we are not crushed. There may be times of confusion. Which way to go? What is going on? What is happening? Just a couple of us know what that's like. I mean, some of us will know, I think, but I definitely have been there daily at moments. But even though we face times of confusion, we're not in despair. For we have a God who wants to lead us and guide us, that we can trust in Him, that hope can rise within us, even in those moments of what should I do? That's when we trust in the Lord. It's when we put our faith in Him. That we may be persecuted. And we kind of looked at this a little bit. I think in some angle of things, we as Americans here have a tainted view on persecution. You know, thousands of people, Christians, believers, have been killed in Syria for their faith. And yet we think if somebody defriends us, that's a shot to our, you know, we're persecuted. well, they said this thing about me. Okay. They always said, yeah, they're always saying something about you. That's a good question. That's a good point. They're always saying something about you. You just don't always hear it. And sometimes I believe we take kind of this, oh, we're persecuted, more as this aspect of really not being confident and walking in all that God has called us to. But we're persecuted, even if we do experience that. The good news, the hope is that God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Somebody had asked me, Pastor, what about those times when I don't feel it? What about those times when I just don't sense it? I feel like I'm kind of alone. I'm by myself. I told him, well, you're never alone. You're never by yourself. What do you mean? There have been moments and times when I have felt God's presence and felt him so close. There have been other times I'm like, where are you? And we said this, it's when you can't see the hand of God that you need to trust the heart of God. That heart, the God's promise to us is that he will never leave us nor forsake us. You know, even to those who aren't following after God, if you're here this morning, his word declares that he stands at the door and knocks. That he's not far from you today. Your sin may separate you from him, but he's not far from you. In fact, I believe that even as you've been here, his presence has been pressing on your heart and drawing you close to him, because that's what he does. That's what the Spirit of God does in us, and it draws us to this place of decision. So we looked at how we might be persecuted, but we're never abandoned. And we also looked at how maybe we get struck down or knocked down sometimes. Anybody know what that's like, having a little knockdown in life? And sometimes, I just said little knockdown, but there are bigger knockdowns, right? And I think we all will face the reality of a knockdown of life, but the truth is we may be knocked down, but we're not destroyed. That in Christ, he will strengthen us in our weakness. That's good news today. Because I don't have it all together. For those of you who do, help us learn. Or you know what? If you think you do, please don't teach us anything. Because we need to really learn. I don't have it all together all the time. And sometimes life will just put me on my back. The good thing is I'm in the right perspective of life, and I'm looking straight up. And to be focusing in on what God has for us, that's my heart today. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I'm almost done. It's a joke. Whoa. Oh, Miss Deb. It's good to see you. Yeah. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 5. This has kind of been our passage throughout this series, and it says this. Paul declares, "For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, 'I believe, therefore I have spoken.' With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory. Look at your neighbor and say, eternal glory. That far outweighs them all. So fix your eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Let's pray. Father, today we thank you for your word. I pray, God, in this place, that your spirit would speak. Lord, that you would remove any humanness of myself, God, that your spirit would have its way in this place. Lord, that we would hear your voice this morning that would bring transformation, that would continue to form and shape, that would illuminate today in the places of our lives, the areas that we've kind of been holding back. God, that everything that we have would be for you. Lord, that this it'd be more than a song that we sing, but we would truly surrender all for you to have your way in us. God, we thank you for your presence that's here. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. A few years back, and this doesn't necessarily date me, you may remember this, but a few years back, there was a very popular program on television in which people would come together. There's some kind of law that when you place your stuff in a storage unit, that after so long that you haven't paid, that then that storage unit is put up for auction and auctioned off to the highest bidder, and then they have to come in and retrieve your things. And I was drawn almost immediately to this, because one person's garbage, hidden items. Everybody looked at me like, there ain't no such thing. It's true. Okay, I got where we're going. One person's unneeded items is another man's treasure. And it always intrigued me to see these people kind of going back and forth. Most of them own some kind of thrift shop, and they would basically take it and then sell it out of their stores. And it was always amazing. Sometimes they would see boxes of things and be like, oh, I know what that is. Then they'd get the unit and they'd open the box, and what was inside was not what they were expecting, because what the box said was not what was inside. And then there were other times where they would open up boxes and they would find treasure, valuable items that some had stored away. And I think to myself as I would watch this, I could do this. Oh, just me? Just me? Okay. No? Okay. Okay. Nobody else. Some of you are doing this. Yeah. I could do this. But the truth is, it's almost like it's a roll of the dice. It's really just, it's really about luck, because there has to be some sort of skill and understanding, but at the same time, not every box that you think is one thing is actually that which it appears to be. And they were always searching for these treasures, these unmarked secret things, so they could buy the units low and then make a huge profit. You know, I think to myself when it comes to God that a lot of times we, in our flesh, in our human nature, we look at people on outward appearance. And we kind of size up. We kind of size up and think, oh yeah, there's potential here. Or you know what? Maybe not so much. Or this one could be this. But yeah, they're probably not created for this. See, the truth is, when it comes down to it, we are all, and this is really what I want to talk about, we are all really ordinary people. However, there is a God who, through our faith and belief in Jesus, takes us from ordinary people, and he gives us an extraordinary power. of His Holy Spirit. And this is kind of the whole key for this morning. I want to look at how ordinary people are instilled with extraordinary power. Extraordinary power. How is it that we see it throughout God's Word? We can see it in the Old and New Testament. God taking ordinary people, even people who would admit to being not enough, not quite good enough. It really takes away all of our excuses. Well, Pastor, I'm not sure if I would speak eloquently or talk well in front of people. God delivered a people, a nation, with a guy who didn't think he could do that. A guy who stood before a bush that was on fire and said, well, you got the wrong one. You must have gotten your directions mixed up, because I'm not that person, because I'm not able. Yet God instilled and gave extraordinary power through the infilling of His Spirit to somebody who is just ordinary. In the same way, I think for us, man, what can I do? How can I operate? How can I move? What do I have? If what you have is merely the outward appearance, we're all in trouble. See, Paul says, I will boast in my weakness. Because it wasn't about what he had on the outside, it was what was on the inside that was greater, and it was so much greater. The only person to ever walk this earth that could have boasted at all was Jesus, and he was humble. The only one who literally could have said, I'm perfect in every way. I mean, imagine his beard. I mean, it would have been perfect. Not like mine. It's a little patchy. Perfect in every way. Yet he walks humbly. And I wonder for us, how many of us use too many excuses when it comes to really being used? And allowing God to supernaturally do through us what we can't even imagine us doing. How God takes ordinary people, fills them with extraordinary power, and they see amazing things. God took 12 random guys. You want to talk about a hodgepodge of guys. And Jesus absolutely transforms the world through these 12 imperfect, flawed guys. And I think to myself today, if we were truly given to and really inspired and desired for God to move in us and through us, how much could we see His power working in us and through us? See, I do believe in special anointings, but I also believe in the Spirit of God that is no respecter of person, that desires to dwell within and be poured out. A light that is not to be placed under a bowl, but a light that is to be that is to shine from within. Ordinary people, yet walking in extraordinary power, because God has placed a treasure that lives within every believer. I was going to bring some jars of clay. Some translations may say earthen vessels. Others may say something else, but I was going to bring some jars and kind of look at the how so often when it comes to what we have and what we've been given, rather than owning and walking in what God has for us, we say, well, why am I not like that person? God, I can't sing like that. I can't teach like that. I can't do like that. Rather than just saying, God, you know how you made me. I need you. The moment when I feel like, you know what, I got this, and I don't need to get on my knees before the Lord and say, God, you've got to do it. Because if it's me, it's empty words. But if it's you, it's life-changing. It's life-altering. No matter your giftings, no matter your abilities, there's a God who wants to do more in and through you. In fact, not even no matter your giftings or abilities, but no matter your failures or your flaws, no matter what your weakness may be, there's a God who can do something extraordinary in and through you. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul says in verse 27, God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak to shame the strong. And I think about us. If we are followers of Jesus, not merely by what we proclaim with our mouth, but what we declare with our lives, there's a big difference between having a knowledge-based relationship and having a real relationship with God. It's not just about knowing about God, it's about living in and with God. And that's really the difference. See, there's a lot of people who know a lot about God, but are not walking in relationship with God. You know, the truth is the devil and the demons, they know about God, but they are not walking in relationship with God. So knowing about Him does not equal relationship. I could know a lot about somebody, but it doesn't mean we're in genuine relationship. Genuine relationship is time. It's walking with. It's being engaged with. And from verse 7, I really want us to look at this verse this morning and see a couple things that really popped out as I kind of read through. And it says this, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. The first thing I want us to see today is this, that you were not created to be a decoration, but you were created to be a disciple. You were not created to be a decoration, yet you were created to be a disciple. Anybody ever walk into a home, or maybe you have a home, where there's like a fancy vase or jar just sitting somewhere? I'm not being condemning today. I mean, if you have it, that's amazing. That's great. We would, but we have kids. So it would not be a pretty vase or jar for it would not take long. Not take long. I literally had, people were bringing things over for the, I'm about to get in trouble. People were bringing things over for the mop's bake sale, and I had them in this huge tote, and I set them up on our counter in our kitchen, and thinking these are safe. It came. I was really watching the kids, though. I mean, it was. I think I had gone somewhere. Something happened. I'm not exactly sure what happened, but something happened. And then I came back, and I found a bag of chocolate chip cookies that were all open and all over the floor. And I thought, how in the world? First, I said, who? Well, man, I said it with a lot more angelic tone in my voice. But I said, who got into the treats? And, of course, then it's the blame game, right? Everybody else's thing. I'm going on a tangent. Let me get back on track. Anyways, what I'm trying to say is we would like to have nice things, and one day we will. But not, it's not in the cards right now because our kid's getting everything. But we sometimes have these decorative jars or vases that we put on display. I know my grandma used to have them. My parents used to say, you know, we're going to go into grandma's house and you cannot touch anything. As a child, you think, why are we going? I mean, if I'm going and I can't touch anything and I'm just going to have to sit on the on the couch with the plastic on it. I mean, what am I going for? Right? But she used to have all these ornate jars and different vases. And maybe I'm saying that wrong. Is it vase? Okay, there you go. You know, all these different things. But we could never touch them. They sat on shelves. They sat on different cases. And they were merely to observe and appreciate. And can I just tell you, as a child, I didn't get it. And can I say somewhat as an adult, I don't quite get it. Well, especially right now, because we can't have nice things. You were not created to sit on a shelf. The jar, the earthen vessel that God has created each and every one of us to be was never to sit on a shelf as a decoration. We were never to just merely sit back and do nothing. Especially when this is being spoken through by the Holy Spirit, through Paul, to this church in Corinth. They understood the value of jars because that's how they brought water to their home. They would fill up jars. Bring water back home. And without those jars, there was no water. So it wasn't about, look at how beautiful. I mean, some people who had means did have ornate things. But it was about utility. It was about use. It was about what they were capable of doing. And that's holding and then releasing, to some extent, life through water. Oh, I'm not there yet. I'll get there. We're still on not a decoration, but a disciple. You know that Jesus didn't come and say, just come and stand around me. He didn't say, come follow me and let's just stand around. Right? Jesus, as a teacher, as a rabbi, began to teach and raise up these 12 men who young men, these 12 young men who really had no business being a disciple. They were already passed over. They were already not good enough. Yet God said, come, follow me. Make you fishers of men. Come and follow me. Come and follow me. And in the same way, Jesus declares and says that to each and every one of us. Jesus says in the Gospels, if you do not deny yourself, take up your cross, you cannot be my disciple. That we are called to follow after Jesus. Not just to merely come to an understanding of who he is, but to follow after him. Disciples were imitators of their teachers. And we are called to be an imitator of Christ. One who would reflect. One who would understand through teaching, but then put it into action. Jesus said, I've not come to be served, but to serve. So often, even as believers, we come into a gathering together and we say, okay, well, Pastor, what you got for me today? Rather than, Holy Spirit, how can you use me here this morning? To serve, to encourage, to speak life, to intercede. And I tell Susan often, I appreciate them praying before service. And I don't know if they're praying for me the whole time, but I probably could use every bit of that prayer, Susan. I'm just letting you know, I could use probably every second of that. But I know they're praying for me. Being a disciple is not somebody who sits back and does nothing. A disciple imitates Christ. And we see pretty clearly through the Gospels that which he did as he came. And that was not to sit back and say, look at me. Somebody grab my cloak. I am he. He didn't come that way. In fact, he came as a servant, born in a manger, riding on a donkey. Yet I think sometimes for us, we think it's all about the decoration. It's all about the look. It's the appearance. Yet God says man looks and is concerned with the outer. Yet I am looking on the inside. Decoration doesn't have much use than to just look. I mean, that's why I'm artistic. But like, and if you are, please, I'm not trying to, forgive me. Just forgive me right now in your heart. Just do it. I forgive you, Pastor. But I don't understand art galleries. Because it's like, Painting ain't doing nothing for me. Oh, well, it moves me, Pastor. I get that. But man, we've come so accustomed to this culture of just observing. And God didn't create you just to observe. We're not created to sit on a shelf and do nothing. We're created to be a disciple. He came and called people to follow after him, not people to merely just look upon him. Yep, I see it too. And it will. It will. As we step into it, as we step into that which God has created us to be, we will see his hand move supernaturally. And I wonder for us, when it comes to this treasure in jars of clay, are we merely just kind of a decoration on a shelf, or is that treasure empowering ordinary people to do extraordinary things? Can I tell you that my heart's desire for you is not just to glean, but to come in and say, Pastor, I just want to tell you what God did this week. I have to tell you what God did in this situation. I was at the store, and I just felt like the Holy Spirit was saying something to me, and I just talked to a lady, or I shared with this, or I shared with that. I saw a Facebook thing of a guy who went to Walmart, and some lady was in front of me. Never goes there, he said. Never go here, but it's gone viral. And he said, I never go here. I never stop here, but I stop there. And there was a lady who was in kind of like this frozen foods aisle, and her daughter was like, can we get this? And she was like, no, we don't have any money. And the guy was like, you get whatever you want, I'm paying. And he said, God places us exactly where we need to be at the exact time we need to be there. And I'm just believing that for us, you and me, every single one of us, that as we follow after God, it's not just about what we know, but it's about what he would do in and through us. Not because of us, rather in spite of us. Pastor, I'm not this. Well, neither was Moses. Pastor, I'm not sure if I could do this. Well, neither did Peter. Well, what if I fail? Well, what about Peter? What if I miss the mark? Discipleship is not about perfection. It's about progress. That we're not called to be a perfect decoration that would sit on a shelf, but we're called to be a disciple who would progress in our knowledge and not just understanding, but living out knowledge of who Jesus is in our lives. And I wonder for us today, are we more decorations? Or are we more disciples? I pray to be a disciple. I want to follow God, not just here on a Sunday morning. Can I tell you that for me, it's not just here on a, I started teaching swim lessons, and I told myself when I was like 25, and I said, never again will I lifeguard or be in the water if I don't have to be. And I'm teaching swim lessons right now to 4th, 5th, and 6th graders because I felt like I couldn't just tell you to get out into the community and share the love of God without doing it myself. I'm not comfortable with just declaring what I think God believes or has for us to do. I really want to participate in it. So yeah, that means I'm not here a couple hours throughout the week. And I make a killing over there at the YMCA, you know. Double digits, you know. I mean, it's really, and God's already began to like, open doors. It's really weird. Like, I just pray before I go. God, just, you know what you want to do here today? Help me. Help me just be faithful. And I've got a guy who's working with me who's like, oh, yeah, where do you work? And it's like over at Lifehouse. And, oh, that's the old Cadillac Assembly of God, isn't it? And, you know, and we began to have this conversation. And the other day I walked in and he's like, so, do you think we're living in the end times? You know what I mean? It brought out this conversation that we can begin to have, to talk through. One of the ladies who worked there, literally the last time, was like, "You the pastor at Lifehouse?" Because I don't go in and be like, "Hey, I'm the pastor at Lifehouse," you know? She's like, "I think I've seen you before. My husband is the funeral director at this place, and I think I've seen you before." I was like, "Yeah, yeah." And we began to have some conversation about life, and it's people who I never would have engaged in relationship with if we weren't teaching 4th, 5th, and 6th graders how to swim. And it's these 4th, 5th, and 6th graders who are not coming up to me and being like, "You're the pastor at Lifehouse, aren't you?" But I had a girl just 2 weeks ago who was like, you were my brother's coach in soccer, you know? And it's like, yep, small town, you know? We were called to be a disciple, not a decoration, not to just sit and observe and know, but sit and learn and go. Well, that was good. Not to just know more, but to be empowered to go more. Jesus said, "Therefore, all authority in heaven and earth has been given me. Therefore, go." Disciples have a mission. Decorations are stationary. My prayer is that we would be disciples. The second thing I want us to see, and Adam, if you could come, it'll help me wrap up. Or it'll make it sound pretty. Second thing I want us to see here is this. It says at the back end of that verse, it says this treasure, we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. And the second thing I want us to see is about this is the focus is not the jar. Can I tell you today that when Paul's speaking to this church in Corinth, he's not saying, "You know what? It's about you." He's saying we have this treasure in earthen vessels, this treasure in jars of clay, and it's about the treasure, not about the jar. That we can stand and we can have hope that would arise within us, not because of what we can do, but because of how great and what our God has done and still wants to do in each and every one of us. Man, that's good news today. It's exciting today to know that it's not about us. This morning, maybe you're here and you failed. Join the club. There is no such thing as a perfect follower. I see even the ones that Jesus selects, they didn't always do the right thing. They missed it. They fell short at some moments and some time. Yet God loved them. I think even, why even bother with Judas? Why even bother, right? I mean, we see what happens. We know the end of it. Why bother? And I think it really goes back to show again the great love of God for each and every one of us. That He loves the one who will reject and abandon God just as much as He loves the one who will stay near to Him, just as much as He loves the one who will deny Him, yet then realize, okay, that was bad. I messed up there, but you know what, God, I'm not going to live in that failure. I'm going to learn from that failure. I'm going to learn from that shortcoming. I'm not going to live in it. And you know what? I don't have to be condemned by what I have done. I've been set free. Peter, who once denied, then declares the gospel of Jesus, and thousands of people come to know Him, come to place their faith in the Lordship of Jesus Christ. The focus is not the jar. So often we miss this. We miss this. There are many here, I believe, today who feel like their failure has disqualified them. Pastor, if you only knew. If you only knew. Man, my failure has disqualified me. I am not fit. I'm not only am I not able, man, I've made some bad choices, bad decisions that really have just taken me. I'm done. Can I just tell you that with God, there's never an I'm done. That as long as there's still breath in your lungs, there is an opportunity for newness in Him. Think about clay jars. And even in Isaiah, we see that God is pictured as this potter who forms and molds and creates and makes us. And even with potters, especially back in this day, how many of you know clay is not the same as steel? And as these jars were being used and utilized, they would often break. They'd often break. They were not ironclad. They were strong, but they would break. Man, if they had four kids running around their home, I can only imagine how many jars they go through. But a potter in those times wouldn't just discard the broken clay pots. Rather, he would take that broken clay and grind that up, and it would be used as he would infuse it with new clay to actually make a harder piece of pottery in the end. He would infuse the older clay with the newer. In that same process, I think God doesn't. The great news is that there is beauty that can come from brokenness. Not because God's desire is for us to fail, but because God's desire for us is to restore and redeem. Jesus, and the reason He came was not because we had it all together. The reason God came in flesh is because we did not have it together. The reason why Jesus came is because there was this chasm. There was a separation between God and man. He finally said, it's been long enough. It's time. Now, we declared it through a song that the veil was torn. That no longer this separation that had to be, but we have access to God through Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God that would live inside of us, that there's actually a beauty in brokenness that God can do in each and every one of us something powerful. And this morning, I want us to respond to a couple questions. Would you stand with me this morning?